This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up in France, can you be true to your religious beliefs and still be French? A troubling question for many Muslims. First, though, religions have true believers, great leaders have true followers, even public radio networks count their faithful, or so we hope. And gizmos? Absolutely. Take Apple Computer's music system, iPod. Day to Day's Mike Pesca has this report on how these days product branding is more potent than ever.
Casey Neistat bought an iPod. He downloaded hundreds of hours of music and listened to it all the time, but after a year and a half, its battery died, as batteries do. Ashes to ashes, nickel cadmium to nickel cadmium. So when Casey called Apple, the maker of the iPod, for a replacement battery, he was quite surprised by what he was told.
Thank you for calling Apple. My name's Ryan. May I have your first name, please?
Casey.
All right, what seems to be the issue today?
I have an iPod that I bought about 18 months ago, and the battery is dead on it.
There'll be a charge of $255, plus a mailing fee. But at that price, you might as well go get a new one.
Apple doesn't offer?
No.
Apple didn't know it, but they had messed with the wrong video artist. As a guerrilla public service announcement, Casey went around downtown Manhattan spray-painting the following words on iPod's posters. iPod's unreplaceable battery lasts only 18 months. His brother Van filmed him, they dubbed in the phone call you just heard, and edited the short film on a Macintosh using Apple iMovie software. This time, the revolution was not televised, it was posted on the net. The first reaction came from Apple chat rooms online, and instead of thanking him for the consumer tip, Casey says the Mac enthusiasts were livid.
It's this feeling that Mac users, us being falling in this genre, that feel like they have a very personal relationship with Macintosh. And it was those people who took it very personally. They felt like an attack on Apple was an attack on themselves.
Seeing the brand as an extension of the self isn't some happy byproduct of having a really great product. According to Harvard professor of business administration Nancy Kane, brands these days want much more than mere patronage.
We now have to offer consumers more than the mousetrap, more than the soap. Reasons, emotionally significant, perhaps morally in some cases, significant, powerful reasons to buy that product or that service over and above another.
Other companies that have been able to bond with their customers include Southwest Airlines, Nike, and Volkswagen. But the downside for a company that's able to create an emotional connection with the consumer is that missteps aren't shrugged off. Take the case of New Coke. Kane remembers that failed experiment as an emotional time for consumers.
They felt betrayed, they felt confused, they felt angry, they deserted in droves.
If that sounds like the reaction to the scandal in the church, it sort of is. The church of consumerism. Marketers aren't happy enough to have consumers use their products. These days, they want you to believe in them.
And wanting to believe that in an age when we don't have as many political, spiritual, cultural, community heroes and institutions that we have so much belief in means we're going to go on making emotional investments in products.
But wait. Surely not every item can be a rich, emotional experience satisfying on a spiritual level. Sometimes you're just eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Peanut butter isn't just peanut butter.
Diana LaSalle is the author of Priceless, turning ordinary products into extraordinary experiences.
It's a buying experience, and it's a storing experience, and it's a disposal experience, and all of these are important to the customer.
LaSalle mentions JetBlue as another well-loved company that didn't just screw up. It created an emotional bond, then broke it by sharing passengers' private information with the government. Apple is perhaps the best example of a product which has spawned a devoted subculture. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why Casey Neistat documented what he calls iPod's dirty secret.
I think it's entirely based on the fact that this is Macintosh and that people identify with this company or are a part of this company. When people buy a Macintosh, they're not buying a computer, they're buying into a culture. And we're not commenting on just a machine, we're commenting on a culture. And that's why it hit such a nerve.
Casey's story ended happily. Within days, thousands of consumers had seen his protest video. Within weeks, Apple changed its policy. Nothing to do, they say, with the film. But for $59, you can now buy a new battery for an iPod and can load it up with 600 hours worth of love songs, which only you have to know are all about the iPod itself. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.